competition for the Arctic is heating up, and the U.S. is getting in the game with some shipbuilding. I'm Noelle King, and for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. President Obama, as part of his visit to the Alaskan Arctic, will address ministers from Arctic nations including Russia, Canada, and Iceland. On the agenda, how climate change is reshaping the top of the world. But while he's there, Obama is also expected to call for the U.S. to build more icebreakers and build them faster. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour is here with more. Sabri, first, what is an icebreaker?
An icebreaker is a large ship, 500 feet long, sometimes nuclear-powered, that rips through the ice over the frozen sea and opens up channels for other boats, like tankers or container ships or Navy ships or research vessels, to go through. And they can bust through ice 10 feet thick. And the way they actually do this is their hull scoots up over the ice, and then the immense weight of the ship bears down on the ice, shatters it, crushes it, and then shunts it out of the way.
And the president has said he wants a new heavy-duty icebreaker by the year 2020. One of these ships costs $1 billion. Why are they so important?
The Arctic Circle is a place of intense competition right now. As Arctic ice melts, or at least gets thin enough to break, we're A, getting new shipping routes. The estimate is by 2020, Arctic shipping will be routine. And B, it's going to be possible to access minerals and fossil fuels under the seafloor. Officials say almost a quarter of the world's undiscovered oil and natural gas resources are there, which is an ironic reality given the focus of the president's trip is climate change.
And there's already kind of a scramble underway for rights to this territory, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. You might remember last month, Russia sent a submarine to plant a titanium Russian flag on the seafloor beneath the North Pole. It's claiming almost 500,000 square miles of the Arctic. It's also sent the largest icebreaker in the world there as well. And they've made their claims officially to the UN, as have six other countries, including the U.S. Russia, by the way, has 40 icebreakers. The U.S. has three, only one of which works in thick ice.
Marketplace's Sabri Benishour, thanks so much.
Sure.
Last year, 27 million Americans were contacted by a collection agency about unpaid medical bills. Now, a new FCC ruling should make it harder for collection agencies to track debtors down on their cell phones. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Dan Gorenstein has a story.
The new rule clarifies that collection agencies can robocall someone on their cell, but only if that person consented to those calls for billing issues. Robert Fole with the Association of Credit and Collection Professionals says the problem is when a person changes numbers.
You're still on the hook from a liability perspective if you make a call to the new person who owns that phone.
As in facing fines of up to $1,500 per call. Medical debt is big business in the U.S., and according to NerdWallet, Americans paid three times more for medical debt than bank and credit card debt combined in 2012, collecting $21 billion from consumers. Margot Saunders, an attorney with the National Consumer Law Center, says the industry must curb its practices.
This is a situation where debt collectors are calling the wrong people far too many times.
Saunders says companies can still send emails, make non-robocalls, and send snail mail. Of course, the industry argues that's going to cost. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
We're seeing an economic recovery now, but the recession has changed some of our habits, including possibly the way we buy groceries. Shoppers got cheaper during the downturn, clipping coupons and hitting more stores in search of deals. Bargain shoppers pose a big challenge for retailers. Marketplace's Mark Garrison took a shopping trip in suburban New York recently.
So we're going to go over to the paper goods section, and hopefully we will find exactly what we need.
We're stalking the aisles of Walgreens with Susan Samter. She's a famous bargain hunter because her shopping trips end like this at checkout.
$19.08 before the card, $19.08 now.
Out come coupons and a loyalty card.
$10.68.
And even after she slices the $20 tab in half, she has loyalty points, so she only pays pennies out of pocket.
Cost us $0.68. What do you think about that?
Eye-popping receipts like that are why a TV show dubbed her the Coupon Queen some years back. That launched a whole career sharing tips through books and TV. It was enough to get her a new silver Lexus, but she still hits several stores per week to grab deals. That may seem extreme, but not these days.
Consumers are making six trips per week
for their grocery needs, which is up from 5 in the prior year.
Rich Nanda is a principal at Deloitte, which tracks these things. He says recession shopping habits are here to stay.
The behaviors that they developed in terms of using coupons, in terms of hunting for deals, those are entrenched.
That means retailers have to figure out how to deal with armies of Susan Samters, her cart now rumbling through Trader Joe's, a heat-seeking missile locked onto half-price bananas.
And I'm going to take 5 bananas, which will be 95 cents.
But stores need people to stay and shop, not score deals in Dash. Food Marketing Institute VP David Fikes says retailers are changing tactics.
Supermarkets are offering kind of in-store cooking demonstrations. They have in-store chefs that are helping families and trying to engage them.
It's all about building an experience that'll keep customers in stores longer.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
That's everything from textbook customer service to new ideas like bars where shoppers pick up cocktails to sip while browsing produce. The economic downturn made the American shopper craftier. Now it's retailers' turn to change. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
I'm Noelle King with the Marketplace Midday Update. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.